I'm Bob Agnew.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $199 a month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
All righty, everybody. Welcome to the Inside Track with the Duval GOP. I'm Karen Morton, chairman of the Republican Party here in Duval County, and we welcome you to the show today. With me in the studio is John Kraft, secretary of the Duval GOP.
Good afternoon. And
sneaking in the door.
I thought I was going to have to stand in for the velvet voice.
I know. I've even lowered mine just in case.
All right. Here he is.
But velvet voice has arrived. Roger Henderson from WBOB.
How you doing, Karen?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Great. We were on the air together this morning, and now that you're back, how does it feel to be here all day long?
It's pretty rotten. Now I know exactly what you go through. Well, I don't even know, because you started way earlier than when I got here.
Yeah, I get here at 5. You came in at 8.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't feel rotten.
I do feel rotten.
Because you're here for a purpose.
I'm not used to this 8 a.m. stuff. Yeah, I truly I'm not. I don't like it. That's one of the wonderful things about having a little bit of a flexible schedule is that I like being able to, you know, normally I go to bed. I go to sleep somewhere between, if I had my druthers, 3 a.m. and 6 a.m.
The good old days. I used to be able to go to bed at around midnight, 1 in the morning. Uh-huh. Can't do that anymore.
Oh, well, yeah. No,
I'm in bed by 9 now.
Well, yeah.
No life
you
advice.
Have to be.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I still need the sleep. But, you know, like I am a morning person has never been something that defined me.
But you're doing it for America, though. That's the thing.
That's
and the
right.
state of Florida and Duval County.
There
as,
you go.
As the chairman. Do you like chairman or chairwoman?
You know, I don't care.
Okay.
I'm the chairman. I'm the chairwoman. I'm the chairperson.
Like, I don't personally like putting masculine labels on beautiful women. I think that
they need to be ladies. Oh, aren't you sweet? Yes. He's not talking about me, is he? John? John's leaving that one alone. Everybody, hey, listen. We're going to be talking about a few things regarding our races coming up and the debate from last night. So if you've got something to add to the conversation, you've got a question, you got a comment, give us a call. 904-222-TALK. 904-222-8255. Call us and let's have this conversation. First thing that I wanted to kind of again remind people about is that the Republican Party of Duval County has put out a mailer regarding our judicial races here in, two of them are strictly in Duval. One circuit court position actually covers Nassau, Duval, and Clay.
Yeah. And you're the unofficial, you know, chairwoman emeritus for all of North Florida, even though it's not an official title.
Well,
many of the people throughout the whole region who can hear us can kind of look to you for some level of guidance and leadership on the party issues.
Some do, actually. Yeah. It's amazing how many calls I get from people in Nassau, Clay, and in St. John's. Mm-hmm. In particular, who have questions or want to volunteer and come here to do it. Yeah.
And when you have seminars, it's open to, you know, anyone statewide.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we are, you know, I mean, trust me, the chairman in these other counties are all out doing what they need to do, and they're hard workers and they're excellent. But we try to share our resources sometimes. So when we are offering a special kind of class, for our candidates or for minority outreach or something like that, we always make it available to all the surrounding counties, certainly.
Okay.
Certainly. I think that's a responsibility that we have. So, we wanted to put out this judicial piece because we are always, every election cycle, inundated by people who call up and go, you know, I kind of know about, you know, the rest of these races, but who are these judges?
And it can be confusing because by law, your hands are kind of tied as to, trying to pinpoint them on any type of ideology or political leaning because it's a nonpartisan, non-political,
correct,
in quotations, office.
Correct.
So you really can't say that they're a conservative or a Republican because it's non-germane.
Well, they can't.
Okay.
They cannot.
Okay.
The party, and I actually went to the... I was invited by the chief judge and the secretary of state to go to the training that they provide to the judicial candidates. And when the training was over with, I asked the chief judge, I said, look, as the Republican Party, if I don't coordinate with the judicial candidate or the campaign, don't I have the right to say, hey, this person's a Republican or whatever? Is absolutely you do. There's nothing that takes away that right of free political speech from the Republican Party.
Okay.
But the candidate and the campaign cannot do that. But what there is a very old statute on the books that has actually been found in a previous court proceeding as being unconstitutional, but for some reason it's still on the books. And it says that a Republican Party... or a political party cannot endorse, support, or assist a judicial candidate or a campaign. So you do have to be careful that way. But we have the freedom of speech. I can tell you this person's a Republican and this person isn't. If indeed I know, if I can find out from the voter files. actually, in this particular case, it's kind of a moot point because. Mm-hmm. Everybody's still on the ballot for a judicial position is or was a couple of months ago registered Republican.
So everyone running is a registered Republican?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But
let me ask you this, without mentioning names, are there any judicial candidates that have you worried or concerned?
I would never say that one way or the other.
Okay.
What we did do is there was a candidate forum put on by the Jacksonville Bar Association a couple of months ago. And one of the questions, and this was put on by the bar, moderator of the event was Rick Mulaney, who is the director of the Public Policy Institute at Jacksonville University.
He was on television
where they
last
did
night.
Yes, exactly, where they did the debate. And he was the one who asked the questions. One of the questions, the debate lasted a little over, the forum lasted about an hour and 10 minutes. And around 37 minutes, he asked a question that basically said, okay, comparing two U.S. Supreme Court justices, we've got Stephen Breyer, who believes that the Constitution is a living document and should be interpreted based on things that are done now, today's interpretation, today's understanding. And then there's the other side. There was the late Antonin Scalia, and Justice Scalia believed that he was an originalist. He believed that the Constitution was written the way it's written, should be interpreted the way it was written. Mm-hmm. That was the way it was meant to be.
And if there need to be changes, then that's what the amendment process is for.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And so the justices who were there at the forum were asked were asked, which of these two justices do you most align with? And of the six who are on your ballot, five were present. One was not present. Of the five that were there, three of them answered Antonin Scalia. One of them answered Stephen Breyer. And one of them answered Stephen Breyer and then, without prompting, threw in and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Now, I'm not interpreting that. I am not using that to make any kind of suggestion or endorsement. Mm-hmm. What we did do is make up a flyer that was mailed out to a lot of people and are available. We're handing them out to say that this is what the question was. This is how they answered. And it's available to you. It's an educational piece so that our voters are informed. Make your own decision and go to the polls. And so the material is out there. It is also posted on the homepage of the website, and that is DuvalGOP.com. It's right there. The video is posted there as well, so you can listen to the video. I've had a couple people tell me, this can't be. I'm like, well, listen to it yourself. Just listen to it. We didn't change anything. I'm making no interpretations about what they said. I'm just saying these were the answers. Be informed, make your own decision. And if you need this information or you know people who aren't sure about where they are on the judges, go to DuvalGOP.com and take a look at it. So that we're pretty much at the end of this first segment. My goodness, this time goes by quickly. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be talking about school board next.
Paid for by Kimberly Sadler for Duval County, Judge Group 8.
If you believe that protecting our Constitution is at the heart of our legal system, then you can trust judicial candidate Kimberly Sadler. Accomplished with years of experience fighting for justice and fairness in our courtrooms, Kimberly Sadler has dedicated her legal career to ensuring the law works for all citizens of Jacksonville. As a former division chief in our public defender's office and serving with distinction in private practice, Kimberly Sadler is a uniquely qualified candidate with both private and public service. Experienced in litigating thousands of cases here in Florida's First Coast, Sadler will bring a high level of competence to the bench with the kind of professionalism that's rooted in our values and the Constitution. Proven to be trustworthy, fair, and honorable. Let's vote Kimberly Sadler for Duval County Judge.
When our health insurance renewal notice arrived last fall, my wife and I made the decision to drop our plan. With the monthly premiums and deductible, we'd have to pay $30,000 just to use it. So we did our homework and switched to MediShare. The cost savings are incredible, over $500 a month, and we don't have to pay for services we don't need or don't agree with. Then, out of the blue, she had to have emergency surgery. Scary stuff. $150,000 in hospital bills, and MediShare members took care of everything. All we paid was our small portion. I'm a doctor who's been in healthcare for 20 years, and this is one of the most impressive programs I've ever seen. Thank God she's fully recovered, and now we're telling everyone about MediShare.
Call 877-64-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
Is it difficult to avoid the temptations of the world or not yield to what the majority seems to be doing? I remember Chuck Colson one time saying that the will of the majority is not necessarily the will of God. People who are lovers of money more than lovers of God will oftentimes yield to the temptations of the world. But the Christian steward is not mastered by money. The Christian steward masters money. We have been taught that we cannot serve God and money. In our stewardship, we must learn how to make money serve God.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Inside Track with the Duval GOP, and I'm Karen Morton. We've got in the studio John Croft and Roger Henderson, and we are going to go on to the subject of the school board.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, one of the questions, we were talking during the break, imagine that, and one of the questions that that Roger was asking me was, what race are you most concerned about? And I said, well, it kind of depends on what you mean. Are you you mean concerned about making sure we win, or getting the right people in, or concerned that it's the most important race? And obviously, I think probably our most important race is U.S. Senate. But the one that I'm the most concerned about, the one that I really, really, really want to make sure that we do everything we can to get the right people in, is school board.
Mm.
School board is absolutely, probably, I believe, the most critical position that you can run for in elected
now,
office.
Aren't those nonpartisan offices, though?
They are non. Yes, and this is an issue. This is an issue. Somewhere along the line in Florida, some sense of brilliance made these nonpartisan races. Now, I got to tell you, ain't nothing in this world nonpartisan. Doesn't happen. No such thing. Can't happen. everything. Politics is in everything. And it doesn't matter if it's an election or, quite frankly, in your family. I mean, you see your kids are constantly vying for position. They're lobbying you for a higher allowance. I mean, it's politics. It's just politics. It may not be Republican and Democrat, but it's politics. Politics is everywhere. Politics has been around since there have been three people on this planet, because one person wants to do one thing, one person wants to do the other thing, and the third person was the tiebreaker. And that's what started politics right there.
Okay, what does a school board member do other than deciding who's going to be the next superintendent and how much money was that person going to make?
Well, first, yeah, they manage a budget that's larger than the city budget, and they determine how it's going to be spent.
They have the power to raise our taxes, too.
They do indeed.
Yes.
But they also determine the policies and the curriculum that will be used in those schools.
Mm-hmm.
They determine what their policies are regarding discipline in the schools, dealing with students. And so, I mean, I have heard in talking with various people in the last several weeks and months, I mean, situations where there are teachers that are being attacked, literally physically attacked, in the schools on a regular daily basis.
Mm.
And we've got students that are punched. There was a teacher who was like 8 months pregnant who was punched in the stomach by a student.
Oh, my goodness.
By a student. Another teacher had her finger broken by a student. This happens all of the time, and that doesn't count all of the intimidation and the. It's just so far out of control. It's the school board that needs to come up with the right policies and enforce them, so that we can stop some of this nonsense in school and allow our teachers to go back to actually teaching the curriculum instead of having to look over their shoulder every 3 seconds. It is insane.
Karen, one of the things that has always bothered me with respect to school board members, they're elected by all of us.
Mm-hmm.
They are supposed to, I would assume, represent the entire community.
Yes.
For the greater good, for the next generation to be educated. But there seems to be no representation on the school board for families who send their kids to private school or homeschooling, although they do have regulatory authority to some extent over those schools.
You know, that's an interesting point. That's a very interesting point.
It's almost like taxation without representation.
Yeah, it would be fascinating to see an extra position put on a board for someone representing just the charter and homeschool.
But do the private schools even want to have a government regulator, you know, over them, or would they see that person as someone advocating for them?
I would imagine it advocating, because you are affected. You are definitely affected by the public policies, and there are certain regulations that come down. And,
And maybe not just one. You know, what's the ratio? And I'm not expecting you to know. What percentage of families send their kids, pay the extra to send their kids to a private school, or choose to say, I'm not sending my kid here, I'm going to homeschool them. Right. There's even the Florida Virtual Academy, which is a public school. That's one option. Of course, other people pay for the curriculums, and the kids do well.
Right.
Colleges seek these kids out because they already have the self-study skills necessary a lot of colleges are now going to, where many of the classes are online anyway.
And they're testing higher.
They have DVD and streaming classes and opportunities to call and instant message the teacher, ask questions just like any other traditional class.
Yeah, and there's more and more students, families using all of those various options. And, of course, there's more and more families who are also using the option of just moving out of Duval County and going into, you know, school boards that have a little bit better handle on what's going on. And you look at the curriculum, you know, again, you go back to there was a forum held at a church a few days ago. I can't remember exactly what day. And it got so out of hand and so contentious that there were literally people who were asking questions about, well, how come you only do that is that only for the white students, or is that for black students, too? I mean, it has gotten so contentious. And I tell you, there's people always talk about the infiltration, so to speak, of our political system, and how we have moved from a democratic republic to almost socialism, and how we incrementally have moved in that direction over the last several decades. But one of the places that that you will find some of the greatest moves for infiltration is indeed in the school boards and the local offices, the local council, that kind of thing.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, Karen, but I have heard people assert that national groups outside of Florida, mm-hmm. outside of Duval County, of course, from other parts of the country like the West Coast and the Northeast have targeted the Florida school districts
right.
for social engineering.
Right.
And they try to impose upon different areas that are outside from where they're from a certain curriculum
exactly.
in order to kind of steer America in a direction that's probably more socially liberal.
Which has Does been
that,
done.
If that's happening?
Oh, my God. It's been happening. It's been happening for the last 50 years. Look at the kids coming out of school and look at the things that they learn. And again, going back to the school board. Who picks the curriculum? Who approves the curriculum? Who decides if civics is going to be taught in the schools? And then if it's taught in the schools, who actually verifies that it's taught properly? I mean, how many students who go through the public school system now actually study the Constitution? If you will look at a lot of the curricula, you will find that they never see the Constitution. They never actually read that document. What they see is in a textbook a bunch of summary paragraphs about what the Constitution means.
Mm.
Well, those summaries can be written by anybody, depending, again, political. It's political. Who wrote the textbook? Who approved the textbook? Because what they're telling you about the Constitution and what the Constitution says is two totally different things.
I remember back when I was in elementary school, we couldn't advance from one grade to the next. I forget the exact grade unless we'd memorized a portion of the
yes.
Constitution. We had to go up in front of the class
right,
and recite
right.
it. Remember that?
Yes, absolutely.
The kids have to do that these days?
I don't know. I don't think so. Not in public school. And people say, well, I don't know why politics, this is why it's a nonpartisan race, because politics has got nothing to do with it. Politics has everything to do with it. Because if you have, politics is not just Republican and Democrat, it's a whole ideology. It's the values that line up behind that. It's determining, you know, do you like Common Core or do you think Common Core is just dumbing down our students? Politics is everything to do
I hate to sound, you know, uninformed. Is Common Core similar to these crazy math questions you sometimes mm-hmm. see on social media?
That's part of it, yes.
That make absolutely no sense where
yes.
they use
Yes, it's a convoluted process that allows
So they change the meaning from 2 to 5.
Yes.
And then they say 2 plus 2 is
so
10, that
simple
so what does this
logic
mean?
No longer, so that simple logic is no longer taught. Rote math is no longer taught. You no longer memorize necessarily multiplication tables or something like that. And yes, it does. It keeps people from learning critical thinking, because you can't possibly do critical thinking when you're trying to figure out this convoluted nonsense. Yes, it's very much a part of Common Core.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
In Duval County, mm-hmm. there happened to be, I'll throw the question out. How many private schools are there in Duval County?
Offhand, don't know.
166.
Really?
Yes.
Private schools,
and they're serving about 29,617 students.
Wow.
Now, that's, 74 high schools, 151 elementaries, and a bunch of preschools.
That's amazing.
And we've always said before, the folks that have the most direct input on your wallet is the city council.
Exactly.
The group that has the most input on your child's future
yeah.
is school board.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Perfectly said. We've got Jose on the line. Jose, welcome to the show. What's your question today?
Oh, no, my comment is you are right on point. We had three kids, and we did the effort to have it in private school, Christian school.
Yes, sir.
And that has been the best investment that we have ever done in our kids' lives. Because the public education is a mess. Have you seen Canada? The parents are having a fit because reading time is done by drag queens.
Wow.
The latest one. Isn't that amazing?
That is incredible.
Is, I got my kids in private school, and I don't get a single credit because I'm paying for my kids as if they were going to the public school.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain that one to me? How crazy is that?
I can't explain it to you. I wish I could.
Mm.
But
yeah.
No, you're right. You are.
Think
you
about
are
it,
absolutely right.
It seems like the educational system is set up in such a way where it doesn't advocate for the kids. It advocates for the professional teachers union.
Exactly.
And the
unions.
Thank you very
much. The unions. Jose, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Thank you for providing a good future for your children. Some people can't afford to do that, but great for Jose. Listen, we're going to be back. If you've got questions, 904-222-TALK. Hold on.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The Trump administration says space is starting to get a little bit crowded, including with some major competitors like China and Russia. That's why today at the Pentagon, Vice President Mike Pence laid out the plan for the creation of a new space force by the year 2020. He says America needs to dominate in space just as it does elsewhere. California's Capital Region has been dealing with a dull haze and the faint smell of smoke now for 2 weeks, even though there are no major wildfires burning near Sacramento. The combination has forced summer campers to stay inside obscured, normally bright skylines and left ash falling on cars. It's coming in largely from 100 miles away at the Mendocino Complex fire and also another major blaze burning near Yosemite. Israeli warplanes have struck dozens of targets in the Gaza Strip. 3 people were reported killed there as Israel continues to try and defend its borders. On Wall Street, the Dow right now down by 12 points. This is SRN News.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
When our health insurance renewal notice arrived last fall, my wife and I made the decision to drop our plan. With the monthly premiums and deductible, we'd have to pay $30,000 just to use it. So we did our homework and switched to MediShare. The cost savings are incredible, over $500 a month, and we don't have to pay for services we don't need or don't agree with. Then, out of the blue, she had to have emergency surgery. Scary stuff. $150,000 in hospital bills, and MediShare members took care of everything. All we paid was our small portion. I'm a doctor who's been in healthcare for 20 years, and this is one of the most impressive programs I've ever seen. Thank God she's fully recovered, and now we're telling everyone about MediShare.
Call 877-64-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Canterfield in Clay County is now open. This senior living community provides elegant retirement living at its best. Everything at Canterfield is first class, from their luxurious independent villas to their assisted living and memory care apartment homes. Canterfield of Clay County residents are sure to spend carefree, activity-filled days in a pristine environment. Canterfield of Clay County truly is a place you'll be happy to call home. To schedule a personal tour, call 203-6100. That's 203-6100.
As a doctor who provided medical care to remote islands, Dr. Ben Lebrow has seen some things.
Piracy, hurricanes, being struck by lightning.
While most of us can't relate to confrontations with pirates, we get that life and work come with a certain amount of risk. But your retirement shouldn't. Dr. Ben purchased an annuity to secure a guaranteed monthly retirement income for life, so his money won't stop working when he does. Find out if an annuity is right to protect your future at retireyourrisk.org.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church, invites you to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday expository preaching of God's Word, 7 p.m. Sunday expository preaching of God's Word, 7 p.m. Wednesday Bible Q&A with fellowship meal. They're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road in the heart of Mandarin, just 1 mile south of I-295.
WBOB tackles the issues.
The anti-war movement in Vietnam, the civil rights movement, in the 60s and early 70s, both of those were much more civil in tone. Even the anti-war movement was more civil in tone, but certainly the civil rights movement among the people who were protesting.
Every day.
Oh, Supreme Court, big ruling in favor of the faith-based pregnancy centers in California. Woo!
WBOB. Your 2018 election authority.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Inside Track with the Duval GOP. I'm Karen Morton, chairman of the Republican Party here in Duval County. We've been having too much fun during the break. with John Kraft, with Secretary
John
Duval,
Kraft
GOP,
ought to be a stand-up comedian. He's John hilarious.
Yeah, right. Let's talk about Roger Anderson.
What? Me? No.
Yeah, no.
I'm a businessman. Come on.
Yeah, you're... Yeah.
The business of comedy.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Anyway, before the break, we were talking about the school board. And again, yes, I think politics has everything to do with who's going to have the right moral values and
who's looking
educational
out,
perspective.
Right.
And who's looking out for kids and not themselves.
And the complicated part is that we can't know as much about a school board or a judicial candidate as we can for any of the other political offices, because our hands are legally tied.
Exactly.
But they're with a little bit of homework and divvying. Unfortunately, the average person doesn't even know where to start looking.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know whether or not a group that is really big on passing out, you know, contraceptive devices to kids in Boston, are they also giving loads of money to get certain school board members elected in Duval County? And who are these people, and who are the groups, and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to it. And offhand, I don't know of anybody that's in particular doing what you use as an
hypothetical
example.
Hypothetical is what I use.
Yeah, of course. But I tell you one thing. While the school board members, it's just like the judges, while the school board candidates cannot tell you if they are Republican or Democrat, it they would have an ethics violation filed against them if they did.
Let me guess. You can.
Imagine that. The Republican Party has freedom of political speech. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
So I'm going to tell you what. When you go to DuvalGOP.com, not only will you find the information about the judicial candidates and the video to back it up, you will also find information regarding who are the Republicans who are running for school board. It is listed for you. And if you don't want to go on the website, I'm going to tell you who they are.
No.
Yeah, imagine that. Mm. Republicans. And there are four Republicans running for school board. If you do not see these four names on the ballot, then you aren't looking at the Republicans. Doesn't mean you have to vote for one of them, but I certainly would encourage you to do so. The four Republicans running for school board are Nick Howland, David Chauncey, Charlotte Joyce, and Monique Tooks. Those are the four people who are running for school board who are Republicans.
Now, Monique was out on the west side, was she not?
Actually, David Chauncey, Charlotte Joyce, and Monique Tooks are all running for the same seat. They are running for school board District 6.
And Nick Howland is out at the beach?
He's out at the beach. Okay. Nick is out at District 2. Okay. I'm not going to tell you, again, we're not going to endorse in a primary. So at the beaches, it's simple. Nick is the only Republican running. And as the chairman of the Republican Party, it's certainly my job to make sure that you're aware of that so that you have the opportunity to vote for the Republican on that ballot. In District 6, there are three of them running for one seat. I encourage you to get out and talk with them, go to their websites, take a look and see, you know, what they stand for. They are all conservative candidates. You just need to talk with them or listen to them, go to a forum, find out which one you feel will do the best job for your family and your children. I was trying to very hard. We tried to put together a forum today with the candidates, and it just got to be a real hassle. There were people running against them who was threatening them with, oh, well, if you go on that show and it's a Republican show, then that's as good as you saying you're a Republican and all this stuff. And they were just like, Karen, I'm not comfortable. I said, you know what? Spend this time going out and knocking on doors. Just spend the time running your races. Go do what you need to do, because I don't want to create any more turmoil for our candidates. What I want you to do is all four of you get out and run the best race you can run. Get out there and try to win. And I will be on the radio today letting people know that these are the Republican candidates on that ballot. So please, if you have any questions, again, DuvalGOP.com. That's where you can find the information about the candidates that we're talking about. Okay, so moving on from that, We had a great occasion, actually, last night here in Jacksonville at Jacksonville University.
Right. You were being surveilled by the sheriff.
I was being... Yes. Sheriff Williams has been stalking me. He said... every time I go someplace lately, I turn around and there's Mike Williams. So it's he did offer to see if we could carpool from this point forward.
Okay.
Sorry, Mike. But it was a great evening. We had the Republican gubernatorial debate. If you were listening, I hope everybody watched the debate, had an opportunity to hear both sides. And I would love to hear what you thought about it. I'd love to hear, you know, who you think won that debate. According to Channel 4, moderated it and put it up on the air last night, there was a winner, but I'd like to know who you think won.
And they did a non-scientific poll. In other words, they just, you know, I think posted something on their website and asked people to comment, and those who did, you know, participated. So it wasn't necessarily indexed to, you know, the exact population, but like, you know, what you feel.
Right.
How you feel about
it.
222 Talk.
Yes, at 904-222-8255. Give us a call. Okay, so one of the things that I heard was that, what we've been hearing for ages is that, you know, the Putnam campaign says that DeSantis doesn't have a clue about Florida, and he never talks about Florida and that kind of thing. And it was quite apparent that DeSantis went out of his way to make sure that he was talking about Florida last night. It was an interesting debate. Everybody took their pot shots. Everybody had their practiced one-liners back and forth.
Wasn't that sad? They violated the Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment: "Thou shalt not speak ill of another Republican." And I really hate that. Tell me what you stand for, not what you presumed that the other guy is. Tell me about yourself.
That's a good point. I mean, there's been so many pot shots back and forth that it's kind of it's almost impossible not to.
It detracts from the real discussion of values and positions, and I really I don't care to hear that.
Interesting, because a lot of people, certainly a lot of the activists that were in the auditorium with us last night.
Oh goodness!
Yeah, you know, they were there for red meat. I mean, let's face it. You know, they could hardly wait for one of the candidates to dole it out. And I would venture to guess that a lot of people watching the debate from home last night were kind of the same way, because I hear that as when these debates are over, it doesn't matter if it was last night or the presidential or whatever debate, you know, what you hear afterwards is, whoa, did you hear him give him that?
Yeah. You know,
personally, I'm okay with hearing, you know, as long as it's accurate. You know, I don't want to be lied to.
Mm-hmm.
But the only concern I've got with the things that John has talked about is in later on, after whoever wins the primary, if that's used by the opposing candidate from the other party in a TV ad.
There's the red meat that you've gifted someone
else. Yeah. Absolutely.
Which it can be used. But I think people are smarter than we give them credit for. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I think you're right. I think people catch on. It's pretty quickly. It's the ads that are just flat out lies. And I'm not necessarily talking about the gubernatorial advertising that's going on. But there are some ads out there in politics right now, in other races, that are just, well, you know, in most races, that there's some ads out there that are just beyond the pale. Should not be.
But
I have a big problem.
Some candidates, though, open their own mouths too big, end up saying things that end up hurting them.
Yeah,
and they aren't talking about anybody else but themselves. So
they have that moment of weakness, and it
moment,
comes out.
You know, about moments. You know, let's turn now to chapter 12. You don't need anybody else with, you know, friends like yourself who needs enemies, and that happened.
Really?
But sometimes it works to their favor, you know, for whatever reason. So
I guess you never know really where it's going to come down. But I think people, while there's a large number of people who want to hear the issues and want to hear a real debate, you go back historically, you can't find. I don't think you can find a really sharp, non-contested race where there wasn't just a lot of vitriol and a lot of hash slinging back and forth. And I mean, it's kind of like the American pastime almost. Go back and read some of the debates from way back, you know, Lincoln Douglas or whatever. I mean, these people were vicious to each other.
They referred to politics as blood sport.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Jackson and who? Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson. Who was he running against? They got real heated.
Who was that? I don't know.
Xander ought to be here, the historian.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Hey, if you know the answer to that one, give us a call, 904-222-8255.
And we've got one more segment coming up, so stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back after these messages.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, just hearing those three words brings feelings of fear and anxiety, and it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. We are J. David Tax Law, a local law firm right here in Jacksonville. Your first step to resolution is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. We explain exactly what your options are and how we will resolve your tax issue. At J. David Tax Law, only experienced tax attorneys will represent you, and our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. If you have tax problems, call us now for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777. Or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Is Greystone Kitchens better than the big box stores for your new cabinets and countertops? About 1,000,000%. Hi, I'm Jeff Martin from Greystone Kitchens and Martin Appliance. We are 1,000,000% better for cabinets and countertops, and I can prove it. Better selection, styles, and options. 100% better. Any color you can imagine. 100% better. Faster turnaround and completion. 100% better. You get a hassle-free fun experience and a contractor that listens to you and brings your dreams to life. It all adds up to 1,000,000% better. For the first time ever, our quick cabinet and countertop makeover is on sale this month. We just got 2,000,000% better. Don't let a store clerk design or manage your project. Get Greystone Kitchens to do it, and you'll have me. I'm a licensed contractor, for crying out loud. Find us at greystonekitchens.com. State licensed contractor, CRC 1330991.
What you see is what you get. Martin Appliance Family.
Sean Robinson Realty has the ultimate real estate proposition for you. Own your own home. Sean Robinson Realty has likely sold or listed a property near you. If you close a home with Sean Robinson Realty, he'll give you a brand new big screen HD TV. Call 904-77-SEAN. That's 904-77-SHAWN. Sean Robinson Realty is your one stop for all of your real estate needs. Residential sales, commercial leases, or property management. Locally owned and operated by people who know your community. If you're looking to buy or sell a home or commercial property, don't waste your time. Call Sean Robinson Realty. Imagine getting a free big screen HD TV upon closing. Sean Robinson Realty will do it. Call 904-77-SEAN. That's 904-777-4296. 904-77-SEAN. Sean Robinson Realty.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. If you've got any questions or comments, if you want to get in on the conversation about last night's debate with the two gubernatorial candidates, Adam Putnam and Ron DeSantis.
And you're also the calendar lady. You keep us abreast of what's next. Absentee ballots are going on right now. When does early voting start?
Early voting starts next Monday,
okay,
August 13th. It goes from the 13th to the 26th. So almost two full weeks of early voting starts on Monday.
So you can go to any public library with the exception of the downtown library.
Correct.
And that includes not just Duval, but the other counties in the area?
From what you can... You know? No, I don't guarantee that all counties in the surrounding areas are starting on the 13th.
Okay.
All of them must start, I believe, by the 18th.
Okay.
But we always, Duval has always gone ahead and taken the earliest possible date to open up voting for the largest number of days available.
And you're really being a blessing to the supervisor of elections office.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Those guys are, you know, burning the midnight. They get the work early on election day on the 28th.
Right.
And if more people vote early, they don't have to stay there till 1 in the morning. You don't have to stand in line for an hour and a half.
There you go. You don't have to stand. They're still going to be there till 1 in the morning because there's still all of those precincts to come in.
And if you think your vote doesn't count, look at the last elections in Ohio. Mm-hmm. I think they're down within 500 votes of each other.
Right. Yeah. 500 votes determine whether or not Hillary would have been president or not.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Wow.
And so if you have any idea that your vote does not count, please get down there right now, or rather on the on Monday morning,
mm-hmm.
and vote.
Yeah. Oh, you'll see me in line at the Deerwood Public Library near Costco.
And
there
if you're,
you go.
And if
meet the, Roger Henderson.
The downtown town library is not a polling site. The supervisor of elections office is.
Downtown.
That's the downtown location.
Okay, but it's just around the corner.
Yes.
And it saves the taxpayers money not have to rent portions of the library.
Exactly.
Okay, great. We have Tim, I think, holding on the line right now. He's got a question for you.
We do. Tim, welcome to the show.
Nope. Tim left us.
Tim left us. Tim did not want to hang on.
He
We're sorry,
us.
Tim. Nope. Tim, we are so sorry.
Okay.
But he said John Quincy Adams was the answer to the question.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, they had a very contentious John Quincy Adams, if you're just tuning in.
Thank you, Tim.
We're talking about how contentious some of these races can be. John Quincy Adams had a very contentious race with the guy who Jacksonville was named after, who is Andrew Jackson. And they were talking about someone's wife not being an honorable woman and this kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
And even
Rachel.
Before that, you know, Hamilton and Burr, they got into a shooting match and one of them died. So
yes. Things have improved.
We don't want to have that kind of stuff going on.
No, we do not.
Right.
No.
But remember, civility starts with each one of us.
Right.
If we're civil to even those that oppose our political position,
mm-hmm.
we must be civil,
mm-hmm.
and we should start to expect it out of everyone else. And
agreed.
Then I think we'll be in a much better place if we take the time to be mm-hmm. civil, even if someone insults us personally to our face. Smile, be civil,
right? And above and beyond all this, we can have the label of the Democrat or Republican or, you know, libertarian, Green Party mm-hmm. member, whatever. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, guess what? We're all Americans.
And we're all in this together.
Right. And if you're not an American, we're all human beings.
Well, yes, indeed. Right. We're all human beings. Although if you're not an American, you're not here legally, you know, it would be good to pack up and go home.
Or
go through the procedure.
Or go through the procedure.
Right. My wife's an immigrant. Moved here from another country. Yeah.
We've got, I mean, how many members of the Republican Party in our clubs and in our executive committee are indeed naturalized citizens? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I had no choice. She wanted to become an American. Well, I'm happy I'm American. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, if someone actually makes the choice to say they want to take the oath, I didn't have to take an oath. She did.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big thing. It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal. Congressman John Rutherford's daughter-in-law just last year became a naturalized citizen.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Where's she from?
Italy.
Italy, okay.
Italy. So, yeah, there's civility absolutely belongs in all of our conversations for sure. And you know, I'm proud to say in Jacksonville that I see really truly when you get out of the political realm and, mm-hmm. and you go around town, you see a lot of people who are involved in politics mm-hmm. on both the left and the right,
mm-hmm.
Talking to each other, going to lunch, having coffee. I mean, it's not unusual at all for us to sit down and have a conversation with people.
And sometimes where the elections stack up, you may be a Republican or you may be a Democrat listening right now, and it just so happens that on the ballot there's no one representing your party. You've got to pick, unless you don't want to vote in that particular race, you know, someone from another party. And I've had to do that a couple of times over the years. You know?
Indeed, if there's not a Republican on the ballot, you have to make a decision.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why it's good to follow the issues and know where they stand.
Always, to find someone
who at least closely matches your positions as possible.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Wanted to let people know that a week from today, right here on this radio show, because we're on WBOB every Thursday at 2 o'clock, next week we are going to have the candidates for tax collector. It's a special election that's being held because the old tax collector, Michael Corrigan, left that position to take another job. And so there's an election going on. It will be on the August ballot. And the candidates for tax collector will be here in the studio to talk with us for the hour.
Has Michael already left that position?
Yes.
Who's the interim? Is there
His deputy. I can't remember her name, but there's a deputy running.
I may want to save this question until next week, but other than just an administrative type crunching the numbers position, what does one tax collector, what do they do versus someone else as far as how that's going to affect anyone's life?
Well, basically, they're collecting the taxes and doing the certifications and the testing for various types of taxes.
Right. They can't determine the tax rates.
They do not determine the tax rates. No, not at all. I think one of the big things with the tax collectors is the customer service aspect of keeping you from having to stand in line. I'll let them talk about it. I'll let them talk about it next week because there's actually a lot to it. And a lot of some of the candidates have come up with some good ideas about things that they can do to improve the system and make it easier on everyone.
Is that a nonpartisan race or partisan?
It is I love the city of Jacksonville. It is a, quote, nonpartisan race, but they tell you on the ballot if they're Republican or Democrat. Don't ask me why it's a nonpartisan race. I have not figured that one out. It's something, I think it was set in the charter that way or something. I don't get it. I'm not from Jacksonville. I don't get it. But yeah, it's a, quote, nonpartisan race. But by the way, here's the parties they belong to. So go ahead and vote. Okay. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
Okay.
But it is that. It is what it is. So the tax collector candidates will be with us next Thursday right here from 2 to 3. And then also the same evening, next Thursday, River City Republican Club, which meets here in the Salem Center in the same building as WBOB, in the evening, 6 o'clock, they will host Mike McAllister, Colonel Mike McAllister, who is running for the Office of Agriculture Commissioner in Tallahassee. So he's on the August ballot. He's in the primary. There are several candidates running for agriculture. There are four Republicans running for Commissioner of Agriculture. So once again, it's a good idea to get to know who those people are, what they stand for, what qualities they bring to that office. Because again, if you're a Republican, you're going to get out to that to the polling place, and you're going to see four Republican names on that ballot. Mm-hmm. So you got to be ready to make a decision. Find out who these people are and what they believe in, and what. Find out for yourself if you believe that they are going to do what they said they were going to do. I mean, one of the things that people absolutely adore about President Trump is that promises made, promises kept. He did what he said he was going to do, and that's what people want. People are sick to death about hearing all the nonsense. I'm promising this and I'm promising that, and then, you know, you don't see anything that looks even remotely like that for the next 4 years, and then they try to run for re-election. So find out who they are.
Right.
And be comfortable and place that vote.
Now, a lot of people are watching the U.S. Senate race between Bill Nelson and Rick Scott.
Yeah.
This is the primary election. Will there be any of their names on the ballot this go-round?
Yes.
Okay.
There are some candidates, some additional candidates on the ballot, and I believe on the primary ballot you will find two names, Governor Rick Scott and a second person who was not well known in the state. Again, vote for who you believe in, but I do know that the race in November against Bill Nelson is going to be huge. So we need to get out there and get ready to fight. We're just about out of time. Again, if you need any information, DuvalGOP.com, DuvalGOP.com. You can also call us at 904. 904-